Today's study takes us to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22, in verse number 8. The title of our lesson today is The Ancient Landmark. The Ancient Landmark. Now, the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 28, says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." You see, the ancient landmark establishes the border of land. And if it is not removed, it establishes ownership and prevents land disputes. The ancient landmark is also a memorial that commemorates a place or an event that successive generations should never forget. My dear listener, the trouble in Christianity is that some of the ancient landmarks that our fathers had set have been removed. You see, Christianity is drifting into apostasy. And it is partly because there are fewer and fewer ancient landmarks to remind us of our heritage. What I want to give you today is some ancient landmarks that have been removed. Some ancient landmarks that have been removed. The first ancient landmark that has been removed is preaching on sin. Preaching on sin. The Bible has a lot to say about sin, does it not? But it seems like many Christians today like to pick and choose what they want to hear and what they want to read out of the Word of God, lest perhaps they be convicted of their sin. Let's look at a few verses together in the Holy Bible that talks about sin. The first one is found in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And the Word of God says, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." Now listen to the latter part of this verse. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see that? Clearly demarcated in the Word of God, is it not? Amen? Now, the next verse we want to look at that talks about sin is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And the Word of God says here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, "Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." We're talking about God's law, what God has to say in His words, His commandments that we are to keep. Not to keep for salvation, but to keep us on the straight and narrow. To keep us living in a way that is pleasing and obedient to Him. Amen. Notice what the Word of God says about sin. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, "All unrighteousness is sin." You see that? All. Anything that is unrighteous, amen, which is the opposite of righteous in God's eyes, is sin. "And there is a sin not unto death." Amen. There is a sin not unto death. You keep sinning in a thing that God's trying to deal with you on, my
dear listener. He may take you home early. Amen. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9 reminds us, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness is sin. Did you know that? Just the thought of foolishness, not even doing foolishness, is sin. Then in James chapter 4, verse 17, the word of God tells us, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. These are sins of omission. If you know to do something good and you don't do it, my friend, it's sin. Amen? Then looking in James chapter 2 with me, James chapter 2 and verse 9. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Amen. So we see that the ancient landmark that's been removed is the preaching on sin. You see, sin has been relegated to the realms of old-fashioned preaching. If what our fathers preached, preaching on sin may have gone out of vogue, but my dear listener, sinning hasn't. Just look at our world today. Look at our country today. Look at your community today. Amen. It's all around us. It's like a cesspool. And my dear listener, if there was ever a time when we need hard preaching on sin, now is the time. But no, people would much want to hear about the love of God. That's in the Bible. Amen. But also isn't God's judgment on sin in the Bible. Amen. As preachers and teachers of the Word of God, we are to preach and teach all the counsel of God. Amen. There are some very pleasant things in the Word of God that people love to hear, and very unpleasant things. But God has put them there because he loves us. And he wants to keep you from coming as Christians under the chastising hand of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be chastised by the Lord. Amen. But if we continue in our sin, he will. That's why we need preaching on sin today, to remind us what sin is and what the consequences are. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us, does it not? Amen. That's why God Almighty had to send his only begotten Son into this world, because of our sin. He was nailed on that cross. He was crucified for you and me. Amen. Because of our sin. Amen. So that ancient landmark of preaching on sin, unfortunately, has been removed from many of our churches today, many of our Bible-believing churches today, because the preacher is more interested in nickels and noses. He believes success is nickels and noses. God never told us to be successful. He said to be faithful, faithful stewards, and what he has given us. Amen. That preacher will be held accountable before Almighty God someday. because of what God gave him and put him over. And he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was more interested in nickels and noses, not on preaching on sin. Oh, no, we can't have that. Amen. You're mean and cruel if you preach on sin. No. A preacher who preaches on sin loves those that he's preaching to because he doesn't want to see them come under the chastising hand of the Lord. Let's move on to the next one. The ancient landmark that has been removed, amen, is preaching on repentance. Preaching on repentance. Let's look at some verses that talk about repentance. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, we hear it says, talking about what Paul said, he testified to the fact that testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, he's saying, this is what I testified to them on. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul testified. He testified before Jews and Gentiles alike that they needed to repent to God and have faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, faith on the blood atonement. Amen. Notice in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, we read this. But shewed unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Again, the scriptures tell us where Paul preached to and what he preached and who he testified, amen. In the area that he went to. And the message was, you need to repent. Repent of your sins and turn to God. And as a result, do works, not to be saved, but that to show that you've truly repented of your sin and turned. That's right, turn 180 degrees from your sin and unto Almighty God, amen. Let's continue to look at some other verses on repentance. Amen. Notice in, with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. The Word of God says this, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. You are truly sorry, and you repented, and you're turning from your sins. Because not that you got caught, but because you have sinned against your God, your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The other kind of sorrow, worldly sorrow, meaning you're sorry you got caught, not that you sinned and offended God, worketh death. It's no good. God knows the difference, does he not? See, as we talk about this preaching on repentance in our churches today, which is a ancient landmark that seems to be removed, you see. Salvation experiences today are about feeling and deliverance. They are not about repentance from dead works to serve the living God. They're not about turning away from sin and becoming righteous in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't tell a bit of change in most people who invite Jesus into their heart today. That's due in part to the fact that there is no admonition in the Bible to invite Jesus into your heart. But there are a lot of imperatives to repent. In Luke chapter 13, for example, in verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He repeats it again in verse 5. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. My dear listener, if you would truly repent, eventually you would change. But the reason you haven't changed is because you haven't truly repented. Amen. So far, we've seen ancient landmarks that have been removed, or preaching on sin, preaching on repentance, and preaching on hell. That's right, preaching on hell. A lot of preachers today, they're preaching as if hell isn't mentioned in the Bible. That the Word of God is a hellless Word of God, but it's not. There is verse against verse and verses and verses and verses against hell, preaching on hell, telling people there's a literal hell, describing it, amen, with detail, amen. And Jesus even mentions a man who died and went to hell, the rich man, and what he found there. Torments. Not just torment, but torments that went on forever and ever. It was too late to repent then and turn from his sin. See, the Bible has a lot, does it not, to say about sin. Let's look at some verses quickly. Amen. That talk about sin, preaching on hell. Mark 9, verse 43. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. I want you to listen to this now. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Amen, shall never be quenched. And then he repeats it again, Jesus, about that hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, Mark 9, verse 45. And then in Mark 9, verse 47, he says, to be cast into hell fire. He tells us there's a literal hell. First of all, and that fire in hell will never go out, will never be quenched. And then I talk briefly about the rich man. Luke 16. Look at it in Luke 16, verses 23 to 24. In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Hell is literal. And Jesus gives us a description of a man who died and went there and what it's like. Torments, thirst,
no mercy. You'll have all your faculties, all your senses. Amen. And then we see in Matthew 23, verse 33, Jesus says to the crowd, the religious crowd of his day, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" But we've removed the ancient landmark, preaching on hell. People, everybody thinks everybody goes to heaven, but they don't, not according to God's words. My dear listener, hell is just as real today as it always has been. And preachers today are scared to death to say anything about it. Why? The reason is that hell is not popular, although most people are going there. And because hell is not popular, preachers who are trying to win popularity contests don't want to mention it. Talking about hell might taint their image and cost them precious revenues. Those bunch of hypocrites are sending more people to hell than they are saving them from hell. We had a bunch in Jesus' day who did the same thing. In Matthew 23, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Instead of keeping your followers, he said to the religious crowd, the scribes and Pharisees, your followers from going to hell, you're sending them there. And you know the difference. And you're not doing anything about it. We're supposed to be watchmen. Are we not, as Christians, to tell and warn people? We're to lift up the trumpet preacher listening. And warn people about, if they don't repent, get right with God, trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that they'll end up in a literal fire in hell that'll go on forever and ever and ever. Yes, another ancient landmark that's been removed. Preaching on hell. Let's look at the last one. Another ancient landmark that's been removed is preaching on the cross. On the cross of Calvary. All of the little sermonettes of feel good. You know, helping people to empower themselves and feel good about themselves. What a bunch of garbage. People are going to hell in a hand basket. Preachers are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. My dear listener, if you're in a church where you have a man of God that's preaching all the counsel of God, preaching on the cross, amen, preaching on hell, preaching repentance, preaching on sin, then you are blessed. The Bible has a lot to say about preaching on the cross of Christ. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. The Word of God says, "But God forbid that I should glory," Paul said, "save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the only thing Paul said he should glory in, is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, he's saying, by the cross, the world is dead to him, and he is dead to the world, amen. And that's how each and every one of us should be. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 11 and 12, the Word of God says, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased.
and I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. He's saying, if I was preaching the law, if I was preaching circumcision, then why would I be suffering? Because I'm not. I'm suffering persecution because I'm preaching the cross of Christ, which is an offense to the world. And then Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in him crucified. That's the only thing he knew to preach that mattered, is the cross. Jesus Christ in him crucified. Amen. Because Paul knew it was the preaching of the cross whereby people got saved. Amen. Preaching is about emotions, feelings, relationship, and so forth. In short, it is about us, not about the cross of Christ. Galatians 2:20 is where we belong. Living a crucified life would solve most of your interpersonal problems. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Word of God says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. I'm still here on this earth. Yet it's not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what we need to do, is crucify the flesh. Live the crucified life. Let Christ live through you. As you're still alive in the flesh, live it by faith in the Son of God who loved you and me and gave himself for us. Amen. It's a powerful verse. But that's what we're to do, are we not? So, you and I would get over ourselves and get back to Jesus if we put into play Galatians 2:20 in our lives, the crucified life. Bless the Lord. If bold preachers would preach Jesus and him crucified, we might truly see some souls saved. Amen. That's what saves souls. Not tricks and gimmicks and all these worldly attractions that get people in the church. It's the good old preaching on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit that moves upon a person and convicts them of their sin and their need to be saved. Amen. My dear listeners, some of you may be preachers or teachers, I don't know. And just the Christian in the pew. Whatever you do, don't remove these ancient landmarks. Amen. Do not remove them. As they have gone, so have the hymns. And so have the evening services on Sunday and Wednesday. Has it not? It's not too late to turn back to the old ways and restore those ancient landmarks that our fathers of the faith planted deep. Just about run out of time. Thank you for joining me today for the Pastor Study. Brother Gino, my prayers that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.